Will you spend another summer working on your yard for your spouse, kids, and guests? Or would you rather spend the summer with your spouse, playing with the kids, and relaxing with guests? Hire Blue Duck Lawn Care to get the super healthy lawn you'll love and neighbors will envy. Blue Duck does the fertilizing and weed control. You just mow to get a lush, thick lawn. Best in your neighborhood. If it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com. Remember, if it's got to be green, hire Blue. BlueDuckLawnCare.com.
Few rounds of showers and storms, but I do think most of the weekend will be dry and highs in the mid to upper 60s.
That's Marcus Bailey. He also, by the way, won the GOP gubernatorial debate last night. So congratulations to you, Marcus.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, and I didn't have to answer a question. That's great.
It's okay, because neither did they. Honestly, we did not rehearse that. That's how good Marcus Bailey is. He just laid it out. right there. Appreciate you.
You got
Marcus, thank you so much, Marcus Bailey. There he goes. 37 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 6:07. Neither did he, but neither did they. That's what I said. That was good stuff. There was a debate last night. People over there at Fox 59 and CBS, I don't know, they're the same company, but they're different stations, and they have daily wrestling meets in the parking lot. I don't know how they work. I don't understand it. It's like us and B1057. You know, you see Sean Copeland in the hallways, and there's a death stare. There's no death stare because I'm never in the hallways. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. 317-239-9393. That's right. I gave out the phone number. I don't know. I figure we have one. People should know what it is. The debate last night was not thrilling. Not thrilling. But I do have winners and losers. I absolutely positively do. Because when you are asked a question, it is important, I think, to either answer the question or explain a value to the dismissal thereof. I don't believe that the question being asked is always a good question. I believe one can reject the premise of a question. And I've done this many, many times. But if you're asked to give a grade to the current governor, Eric Holcomb, and you, like Eric Doden did, decide, I'm not looking to the past, I'm looking to the future. That is a missed moment. And Eric Doden, in this debate, was filled with missed moments. I think that Doden is an unbelievably decent cat. And you will soon be seeing my conversation with him. Until my videos come out with all of the Republican candidates, I am going to reserve, I'm going to hold on where I'm personally at. But in the debate that took place, that Fox 59 debate last night, Eric Doden does not win the debate. I would argue loses in that field of four for not being more focused on answering the question. Rather, he was focused on a methodology of, I'm the nice guy. I think he is a nice guy. I don't think that as an argument wins. Now, you say to me, well, Tony, who won? I would argue that in a field where not many heavy lifts took place, and there is a real disagreement on how you grow a state, I would argue that Brad Chambers won. Because Brad Chambers was the only guy who stayed on a message, which is, Mike Braun's bad at this. Now, whether you agree or disagree, that's not the argument. Chambers is willing to say that his issue is not with LEAP. I mean, remember, he ran the IEDC, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. He's okay with LEAP. He admits wholeheartedly that it's about economic growth, and that's what he's going to focus on. And he admits that Braun did this and Braun did that. I mean, I shouldn't say admits. He's willing to go at that conversation and try and draw the contrast. So I would argue that in that field of four, because Curtis Hill and Jamie Rittenour were not a part of the debate, whether it was money raised or I don't think it was some level of polling, it was not racial. And I'm grossed out by anybody saying so. It is just wrong as wrong can be, and I'm willing to get very clear on that. I would give the debate, if I'm watching for the first time, two chambers, and I would say that Eric Doden lost. But there's plenty to discuss and plenty to break down and plenty to say there's a fair amount of meh here, and no one is really getting into specifics that are valuable. That's a legitimate point. It's not the only point, because there are some specifics being talked about. It isn't the only one. This is not the most exciting group. But I don't know if I always need exciting if I can just get the job done, which brings us to a whole nother issue. Who's going to get the job done? Wait, hold on. What's the actual job? We'll get into it. Tony Katz, 93WI.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
BC, good morning. Updates from Baltimore are not good. What we know is that they have now stopped the search and rescue attempts as six workers from the Francis Scott Key Bridge are presumed dead. It's an ugly scene. Still in the port of Baltimore. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. This, of course, was the cargo ship that hit one of the supports of this bridge, the 1.6-mile bridge, causing its collapse. Now, the full 1.6 miles didn't collapse, but the span that cargo ships would go under daily, hourly, did collapse. Falling onto the ship itself, falling into the water. Cars were on the bridge at the time, falling in to the river, what's known as the Patapsco River. The ship clearly had power outages. You can see in videos the lights go on and off. You could see black smoke coming from the rear of this cargo ship. And calls were made. A mayday call was made that allowed law enforcement on the bridge to stop a fair amount of traffic, which absolutely saved lives. Now, there are 9 million theories on social media. I pay attention to none of them. But I am wanting the investigation. And I do have questions. And it does make me wonder what we were thinking, not being a guy who spends his days looking at bridges, that there were, based on photos of this bridge, no protective barrier around the supports. You have cargo ships going through this again, by the hour. If some gas station is selling propane, I got four pieces of concrete sticking up around it so nobody rams into it. You're going to get gas? You know you've got concrete pillars around the thing. We don't have it around. We aren't in this business, right? We have not thought of this. Now that we see it, and we've seen the disaster, that seems like a, that guardrail concept seems like something that should be standard. And one would does ask why it wasn't there. And there could be reasons. Again, not having the expertise. Everybody on social media is immediately an expert. I don't claim to think that because I have an account on X or Facebook that somehow I am touched with the secret knowledge. Said differently, those people are freaks desperate for a click. I'm pretty sure I know who I am when I wake up in the morning. I just don't need that much fake love. What caused this to happen? Don't have an answer. What comes next? Don't have an answer. There has been some back and forth as President Biden has stated that the federal government will rebuild the bridge. He's been very clear on this point that when it comes to rebuilding, this will be the U.S. government taking that on.
And the quality of life. My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland and whatever they ask for. We're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs. It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort.
Now, I said yesterday when I was discussing this, when this came out on Tony Katz Today, that I absolutely support rebuilding the bridge because first I support the cleanup. Part of the untold story here is that this is a very busy port, billions of dollars worth of goods every single day, and right now it's all shut down. This bridge was the first bridge as you're entering the port, the harbor. It's shut down. This is going to cost billions of dollars. You got to get it cleaned up. You got to get it back open. I understand lives are lost. I'm discussing reality. So that's one. I'm in favor of getting that done. But some people have noted that you want us to pay for this bridge. You know this bridge is a toll bridge. It is. It makes money for the state of Maryland. I don't know, as people are saying, why am I paying for Maryland to make money? It's at least an interesting conversation. So let's start with the first part. We got to get it cleaned up. We got to get it moved out of the way. We have to get the cargo ships going again. Have to. Not a debate. And if that's at the federal government's dime, then so be it. Because if we say to ourselves, well, it's just some goods and it's not a big deal. I share with you that right now, America is looking at a shortage of insulin. As reported by UPI, it's Eli Lilly warning of the shortage. Humalog and insulin Lispro injections are or will be temporarily out of stock at wholesalers and some pharmacies through the beginning of April. The company is continuing to make the 10 milliliter vials. We'll, quote, ship them as soon as we can. Now, these two things are not related. I bring it up to make a connection that shortages when it comes to, for example, insulin could happen for a whole host of reasons. But when we see a shortage on insulin, we say, my gosh, how do we fix this? So there is an understanding that the shortage, the inability to get the product, creates an issue. That is what's happening and going to happen because of this bridge collapse in Baltimore. And there are people who are really going to suffer. Well, Tony, they're going to suffer economically. Their life isn't on the line. You don't know their business. The federal government is going to pay to clean this up. I think that's an actual role. I think that makes sense. And I would think it weird that we would disagree with that. Now, if you want to discuss building the bridge because it is a toll road and Maryland gets the money, all right, I'll have that conversation.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
For the next week, we are not Hoosiers, we are Sycamores. For the next week, you're wearing the blue. Is that like a baby blue? Is that the official color of Indiana State? Whatever it is, get it on, people. And head on over to Hinkle Fieldhouse. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. Indiana State is going to the NIT Final Four. Now, I know what you're saying. You're like, no one cares about the NIT. You do. You do now. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you can get tickets for the semis for $90. And if you've never been to Hinkle, Hinkle's beautiful. Hinkle's ridiculous. Such a cool spot to play. And never mind to watch. And the tickets are out there. There is simply nothing acceptable about this not being a sellout. Nothing. Nothing acceptable about this not being a completely sold-out Hinkle Fieldhouse for Indiana State. We're insane if we let the moment go by. Insane. Anything I want to say about Butler, I can say it. Anything I want to say about a host of things, oh, don't worry. I can say it. There's nothing but a good time to be had. Nothing but a good time to be had. There are tickets in the 200 level for less than $60. What are we doing? I'm staring at it right now. Go get tickets. Bring the family. A Final Four that you can afford to bring the family. Go bring them. Just do it. Oh, if we don't sell this out, we're crazy. We're certifiable if we don't sell this out. Hinkle Fieldhouse to watch Indiana State in the semis and then hopefully the finals. And just for Robbie Avila and all of the nicknames. Have you seen this guy? If you have not seen this guy, he doesn't look like a basketball player at all or in any way. He looks like he is going to be a great junior accountant at your accounting firm. And he is, so the issue is, or I should say the issue, the story is he's a white guy. But he wears the glasses. He's got the strap around them, almost like the goggles. So because of that, he has nicknames. Milk Chamberlain. That is a nickname, and they put it on TV. They're not even playing around. Larry Nerd, because he wears the glasses instead of Larry Bird. But the greatest one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Come on. By the way, if Indiana State does not invite Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to come to the game, they're out of their head. They're out of their mind. I will do this. Carl, write it down. I can't fly in private. Please, it's radio money. Tony Katz in the morning news. If Indiana State can make sure the guy has got a ticket to the game, I don't even know if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar like flies anymore. I don't know his whole story. I don't know like like I he's an interesting guy, and I disagree with him politically on a great number of things. I will pay for the first class ticket, Indiana State. I will pay for the first class ticket to fly Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Indianapolis to attend either the semis or the finals. I just want an interview. That's all I want out of it. You're going to have to find him a hotel room or, I don't know, like a spare bedroom for somebody. But I will pay for the first class ticket. If Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will come watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play, I, Tony Katz, right now will buy the first class ticket. So that's got to happen. Sadly, I think I'm going to be out of town when this all goes down. I got to double check. But go to the field house. Fill the field house. Get it done. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good because we can make a good party out of it. It's Indiana. I know you didn't go to Indiana State. Whatever. Show up. Wear the blue. Make it happen. We are all Sycamores. Tony Katz, that is me, by the way. 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Suggest that you don't either. Polling is to believe just one. So you can say, ha, see, I was right. Well, that's not the way it works. That is not the way it should work. Polling, in taking four or five, six pieces of data, might tell you a story. It doesn't mean that people won't utilize a poll and won't talk about it and won't be newsworthy. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Rasmussen has a poll that got released yesterday. That polling states that 53% of likely voters think that Joe Biden is a weak commander-in-chief compared to most recent presidents. That's a story. That in and of itself is a story. Because I think that when you hear that, most people will be like, yeah, I can get that. Which is so strange because we've been told how great Joe Biden is, for example, regarding NATO and getting all these NATO nations together to take on the threat of Russia and Ukraine. But as we have discussed, this has nothing to do with Joe Biden. This has to do with European nations realizing that Biden is weak and they can't rely on U.S. strength to keep Russia at bay, as Europe has for decades post-World War II. And they're going to have to deal with some of this on their own. One of the many reasons why we should not be so much like Europe. We should appreciate them for what they are, but know that it's really not a way to run a society. That's why the Europeans are getting themselves together, putting money into NATO. Because they know that with weak leadership from Joe Biden, as we have discussed it, as you've discussed it, Putin moves with impunity. We take a look at what has happened regarding Hamas, impunity. It's only a question of when China makes its move on Taiwan, moving around with impunity. There is no worrying about what it is the United States might do because nobody thinks Joe Biden will actually do. The poll is just a codifying of this. Now, the question before us is, how many people are voting this way? And this is why I caution against the idea of, you know, taking this and running with it. Ha, see? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's make the argument. Let's make the argument that indeed people feel this way. Does this change at all how they'll vote in November? Will they say, yeah, he's a weak military leader, but got to have my abortion, so I'm voting for him. Yeah, he's weak and can get us destroyed, and the border is a mess, and there's war everywhere, and he's feckless. But, you know, Trump tweets mean, got to vote for Biden. That's the issue. I think it's bad for Biden when this kind of data comes out. It's one more thing. But nothing has shown me that it changes the way people are going to vote. I have been asked this repeatedly, as if somehow I speak for all Jews. Oh, if that was only the case, does the attack on Israel by Hamas, a terrorist organization, disgustingly supported by people like Congressman Andre Carson, Congressman Jamal Bowman, Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congressman Ilhan Omar, Congressman Rashida Tlaib, Senator Chris Van Hollen, and in my view, supported by all of them, they support terrorists. Is this going to change the way Jews vote? And I have heard people who are Jewish say, oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. No, this, no, that. I haven't seen a single bit of proof that they're going to change the way they vote. I haven't seen a thing. I have not seen a single thing that says to me, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, as a quote-unquote community, right? I always laugh at that. It's like when they say the black community. What black community? What are you talking about? It's not a monolithic group. They don't think alike. It's super weird. The Hispanic community. I don't know what you're talking about. And then they'll say the gay community. You haven't even come to the reality that the gay community, quote-unquote, isn't with you on the T. They're only interested in the LGB, and they want to be left alone on the rest. Oh, there's a fair amount of those people. They just got to break away from that flag nonsense. I said flag. The idea that everyone thinks alike is nutty. But the idea that the quote-unquote Jewish community has shown that they will vote differently and pull away from that standard progressive type of voting, I haven't seen that even in the face of the horror of the attack on October 7th. Haven't seen it at all. I'm waiting. And I'm hoping.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Say goodbye to Pan Am Plaza. Well, as we know it. Demolition is happening to make way for the hotel that the city of Indianapolis is building. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Look, the people over there at Hilton, this was going to be an 800-room hotel. It's called Signio. It's a very, very high-end hotel. Attachment to the convention center. Massive expansion. More space, as we are told, is needed. And certainly, I don't mind the idea of more hotel rooms to help those spaces be as full as possible. But then the funding kind of went. And it was, all right, so what do we do now? And the city was like, don't worry, we'll pay for it. And we said, Indianapolis, you know how to build a hotel? And they're like, nope, but we sure do like spending the money. And so that's what happened. My issue is not with building the hotel. My issue is with the city of Indianapolis building a hotel. But they're taking the money. They got all the bond thing figured out, so they tell us. I don't know what it's going to cost Indianapolis, but hey, you voted for this. I'm just reporting. I can't help you. I've tried. I might still try in the future, even though I know I should be like, you know what? This is what they want. This is they vote for Vapasili. Vapasili supports communists. They vote for communists. You know, this is just their thing. This is what Indianapolis is. They vote for mayor based on conversations about abortion and not based on, you know, potholes or safety. Can't help, but it can't help. Thank goodness people still want to come to Indiana. And they're like, oh, Indianapolis is the capital. Okay, I'll put in my millions here and my millions there. And thank goodness. No one is coming because of the Hogsett administration. That seems very, very clear. Now we're building this. So in the next few weeks, Pan Am Plaza will be gone. And then construction will begin. I hope it goes well. I hope it goes safe. For sure. The redevelopment is expected to cost more than $750 million. $750 million. Yeah, I do hope it. I don't want any problems. Just nice, clean construction and get it done and then get it sold to somebody and not have it on the people's books. Or do. Honestly, I don't know at this stage of the game. Whatever. Well, you know best. Don't worry, though, Miles Square. The City County Council is not stopping here. They will figure out another way to tax you. Oh, residents of Indianapolis, don't you worry. Don't you worry. You have it too good. You're getting too much. You're not paying enough for it. This City County Council, the developers that they are, they'll find another way to develop a tax to make you pay. It's coming. Just a question of when, but it is coming. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Oh, no, I put it on social. It's official. I will buy the first class ticket for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to come to the NIT semifinals at Hinkle Fieldhouse, where Indiana State is playing. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play basketball. That's what they call Robbie Avila from Indiana State. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's all so insane. I haven't figured out how that's not somehow like some bigotry thing, but people are having fun. And finally, not everything is so serious. So I do have it out there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Producer Carl wonders if a guy as tall as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar can even fly first class. He might need to fly private. I can't help him with that. It's radio money. I can't do that. I can buy the first class. I can make that happen, right? Just have to get a mortgage, but it's worth it. But I can't do the other one. Can't do the private. Somebody else is going to have to do it. You're going to need Jim Irsay money to do that. Make that happen. If Jim Irsay wants to fly Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out, more than welcome to. But there had to be at least an invite. You've got this star on Indiana State, the Sycamores, which are going to the semifinals, which is taking place at Hinkle Fieldhouse. Right there, Butler. You got to buy your tickets. You got to fill the Fieldhouse. Everyone's got to wear the blue. We are all Sycamores. Why not? Be supportive. Don't be crazy. Have a good time. We need a little fun. Something to bring the people together. Let's go. So Indiana State is playing, and they've got this star, Robbie Avila, and they refer to him as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he's white. Some people call him Milk Chamberlain. So you know, all I'm saying is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar needs to be out there. It has to happen. At least the effort has to be made. So I'm making the effort. I'm making the effort to the best of my ability. The effort was made to fire Ronna McDaniel from NBC, and they were successful. Ronna McDaniel was the head of the Republican National Committee, and then she left because, well, she had to go. And then she got hired by NBC. And then the people at NBC and MSNBC went flat out of their minds. This is a travesty. This is terrible. This is awful. And so NBC said, oh, I'm sorry. You're fired, Jen Psaki. Oh, no. They said you're fired, Ronna McDaniel. Jen Psaki, she's fine. Jen Psaki gets to stay. Why does Jen Psaki get to stay? Because, well, she tells the truth. The popcorn moment. Let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. It's a true story. That Ronna McDaniel gets hired. NBC staff goes out of their heads. How dare NBC hire this terrible, terrible person? They hired George Stephanopoulos out of the Clinton White House. They were literally negotiating with Jen Psaki while she was White House press secretary to put her on MSNBC. This woman who, she was always going to circle back and never openly discussed, honestly discussed, the fact that her boss, the president of the United States, is mentally incapacitated. I mean, that's what happened. These people consider themselves arbiters of truth. These people consider themselves good and decent and just. But Ronna McDaniel, oh, no. No. We can't have Ronna McDaniel. She's just evil. She deals with lies. Lies, I tell you. I mean, Jen Psaki was serious. Look how great I am, and look how terrible Ronna McDaniel is.
This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system. That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public debate.
Oh, is that right? You've decided. Well, let's hear more.
Over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as an NBC News contributor. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me. And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address. I got into public service for the same reason that many people do, to serve the American people. I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing. And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for. But here's the thing. That kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now at a time when our institutions are under attack and when our democracy is in danger.
You see, she's good and decent. She brings honesty and truth, and everybody else is just a no good liar. That is nutty. The ego, the hubris, this was Chuck Todd, former host of Meet the Press, on this subject.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology. for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
He never brought up credibility issues of Jen Psaki. Who is she speaking for herself? Is she speaking for the Biden White House? What about Al Sharpton? The guy who lied about Tawana Brawley, the guy who led to the killing at Freddy's Fashion Mart. What about him? What about this non-taxpaying fraud, Al Sharpton? No questions about his credibility? These people are surreal. They really do believe themselves to be above it all, which is just another reason to not pay attention to any of them. And then there was this. As Ronna McDaniel is now going to sue because she got hired and then she got fired. She didn't do anything wrong, so she's now going to sue NBC. Well, you knew that was coming. This was over there at News Nation, where Geraldo Rivera is now a paid contributor. It's Chris Cuomo's show, a guy who has credibility issues from the lies over at CNN, and of course the egomaniacal standard, talking with Geraldo and Joe Walsh. Remember him? Republican, maybe still is, maybe isn't, who knows, who is never Trump and ran for president. Listen to this.
Well, I think that Rachel Maddow is guilty of malignant wokeism. God did not anoint her the arbiter of who was appropriate for her network to hire or what their point of view is. I think that there is an arrogance about the whole notion that the 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump are all out to lunch, that they don't have the right to make a selection. Half of those 75 million people, probably tens of millions, certainly believe the election was stolen. I reject that thesis. That's why I would never support Donald Trump again. But there are a lot of people who do not agree, that agree with Ronna McDaniel, who is the most intimate insider NBC could ever have hired. It was a brilliant idea. She would have or could have spilled the beans on the fake electors and the alternate slots, slates and so forth and so on. Instead, you had this cabal of aging superstars at the network who insisted that this person was somehow inappropriate.
There is nothing more joyful than Geraldo, after being fired from Fox on News Nation, saying about MSNBC that all of these people are an elderly and aged cabal. That is spectacular. This cabal of aging superstars at the network who insisted that this person was somehow inappropriate.
Says who and according to whom. It really is outrageous. This is censorship.
Honestly, it's all just so great. It's all just so great. The network that hired Chris Cuomo and Geraldo is talking about a network of aging superstars. Oh, it writes itself. It really does.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
From Chef Gruhl, Andrew Gruhl, formerly of Slapfish. He was working on some restaurants in Indy. I gotta ask him what's going on with that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. And it was a conversation about these third party delivery groups, DoorDash, Grubhub, etc., and how they deal with refunds. People complaining, oh, my food this or oh, my food that. And I'm not saying that sometimes there's not an issue. But it seems that the DoorDash Grubhub people, I'm using that as a catch-all, not any specific company, but these groups, they're willing to give a refund for anything. You just claim an issue and there it is. You get a refund. And there's a picture that got posted of a burger with a couple bites out of it and how people can digitally alter the photos so it looks like the burger's overdone or something like that so they can get their money back. Chef Gruel points out that he utilized DoorDash because he thought it was a necessary evil to drive revenue. But they were getting 20% of their orders refunded for no reason. So he's like, forget this. It's absurd. Now, some things that the DoorDash Grubhub world have done, I think, is reality. And one of those things is, you know, the idea of credit card charges, which there's a really interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal that Visa MasterCard just lost a lawsuit. And there are a series of class action lawsuits against Visa MasterCard for how they deal with fees and how they deal with merchants. Because merchants are the ones, like, for example, when you have a credit card and it's got rewards, oh, you get points for this and all that jazz. It's not you who pays for it. Well, I should say it is you that's paying for it. It's the merchant, the burger place or where they're the ones who are paying the higher fees so you can get the points back. So one of the things that DoorDash Grubhub did was the idea of, here's the credit card fee. Call it a whatever fee that you will. For utilizing a credit card, you're going to pay for utilizing this service. You can pay cash at this price, but you want to use your credit card for the convenience of the points or whatever, there is an extra charge here. And people accepted it. And I get why the merchants do it. And full disclosure, my family has been in that business for a great number of years. As my parents have gotten older, I'm doing more to help out. We offer that service. I totally get where the merchant's at. And in a large measure, so does the customer. But DoorDash, so DoorDash kind of opened the door and Grubhub opened the door for a lot of that happening. But then Visa MasterCard's like, well, you can't do this. You got to charge this. You got to change that. And then they try and tell restaurants, well, here are the fees. You have to pay this. You have to pay that. And they try and tell, the acquirer side, right? The people offering up the credit card processing services, you have to do this. You have to do the other. And people are like, you're crazy. So there's now been a cap on some of the interchange fees for 5 years as part of a settlement. So this is in the Wall Street Journal. If you follow me over at TonyKatz.com, you'll see this story. But the DoorDash Grubhub story, they're going to have to change the model because more and more restaurants are saying this is insane. Never mind the amount of so-called problems and chargebacks, but the fees themselves. What they're charging us, the end user, what they're charging the restaurant, it's not tenable. Part of the problem is some of these restaurants, they cannot find the delivery drivers. If they could find delivery drivers, they wouldn't use that system at all. They'd just call and they'll deliver the food. It's a really interesting story. I will share the post from Chef Gruel. And you can find the story about Visa MasterCard over at TonyKatz.com. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Take your baby by the hand. My one-on-ones with the six Republican candidates for governor, they should be up in a matter of days. Forgive me for not having them up earlier. The trip to Israel changed some timing of some interviews. I wanted them up already, and I apologize for that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. My conversations were not gotchas. I wasn't going super heavy. I was going conversational. But do we cover property taxes? Do we cover FSSA and the billion-dollar shortfall? Yes and yes. Do we cover education? Yes. We do. These questions were asked specifically. There's only one candidate where I was like, I forgot to ask about that. Don't ask me why. I just forgot. And so I'm working on getting them back so I can do a little add-on to the video that we already did. I'm talking about, I was with these people, some people 40 minutes, some people almost an hour, some of the candidates. This race is happening. We've got the primary May 7th. The candidates met over there, Fox 59, CBS 4, for a debate that took place yesterday. The debate was not great, right? It wasn't a barn burner by any stretch of the imagination. I thought that some of the questions were all right. I thought it interesting that Dan Spieler over at Fox 59 asked Senator Braun about qualified immunity. Senator Braun was on with Tucker Carlson when Tucker had the Fox show and got pilloried by Tucker over qualified immunity and police officers. I mean, just got ripped apart is what happened. And to ask about that was very interesting. There were conversations about helping small towns. There was a conversation about marijuana legalization. I find it interesting that nobody really separated out medical versus the rest. And I get the argument. I was actually having this conversation with producer Carl, that if you legalize the medical, you're leading your way down the path to legalizing marijuana. I get the slippery slope. It's not that I don't think it's real. I think it's actually very real. If I had been asked, if you ask me, when I run for governor, I've said too much. I'm absolutely for medical marijuana. Absolutely for it. I do not believe that people who have terminal illnesses or other issues should have to live with pain when that pain can be alleviated because of somebody else's so-called moral code. You're the one who's terminally ill. I don't want to be in a position to dictate to you. I want you to be able to have relief. I want to recognize that this drug has a capability. Why don't we just say so? The argument, of course, is do we want weed smoked on the streets of Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, Gary, Evansville, etc.? That's a whole different thing, because while these cities that have legalized marijuana, which could be argued as decriminalized, aren't lawless because of that, man, who wants to smell it all day? All you do is smell the weed everywhere, all the time. It sucks. And so as a city, as a state, we should be able to discuss these things like rational people. That is different than medical marijuana. Very, very different. That subject came up. The subject of time zones came up, to which I'm laughing out loud. Farmers, I get that there is a time zone issue and a daylight savings time issue as well with you. I get that for other people, why isn't Indiana on Central Time? I hear you. But for a conversation of time zones and daylight savings to come up, but not property taxes, that was a miss for Fox 59 and CBS. A terrible, terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. I don't know how you make that decision. There were also, again, it was a question about small towns that actually got asked from an anchor over at WANE in Fort Wayne, I thought it was a very solid question and good from them. In the main, As I stated earlier, I do think Brad Chambers, quote unquote, won the debate because he was the only person who wanted to create a contrast between themselves and the rest of the candidates by saying repeatedly, Mike Braun bad. It wasn't even so much negative as it was, this is what Mike Braun did here, so Mike Braun did there, this is what he hasn't done here, this is what he hasn't done there, didn't do this on the border, voted for his tax increase. He was the only person who stayed on message in that way. Braun's pushback was very standard operating procedure for him, but I think it might, I'm wondering if the viewer sees it as overplayed. They've seen this kind of, this move from him before. Losing the debate, I thought, was Eric Doden. Because he's a nice dude, and you'll see it in my conversation with him. And it's not that I don't think he isn't a smart dude. He's got interesting things to say. He doesn't come across enough as a fighter. He comes across certainly nice, but Where is the strength to take on the battle? It was interesting that I received during the debate a text. Senator Braun sleeping on the job? ? This weekend, Senator Mike Braun skipped a $1 trillion budget vote to attend his campaign fundraiser, even though 98 out of 100 of his Senate colleagues were present. If sleeping Mike can't do the job, he should resign and let someone else. First of all, he didn't finish the sentence there. I was like, who sent out this text? It was Eric Doden, Doden for Indiana. And as Ethan Hatcher pointed out, you've got the strength to send out this text, but not to talk like this in a debate? Proving my point. I think these candidates need to do a better job of differentiating, for sure. For sure. I hope the videos and the conversations I had with these candidates is helpful to you. They will be out in a matter of days, and we'll be sharing the audio right here.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Bright and or partly cloudy skies.
Tara Hastings, do you have headshots like professional? Look at me, I'm a meteorologist, headshots.
Yes, from the station, yeah.
Yeah, I think I need new headshots.
Oh, you need, yeah, I think you need to update those every year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to, did you sit for yours, or were you like in some kind of standing position, looking very meteorologist-like?
I was standing, yes. And I don't know how it would look meteorological like, but
was there a pose per se?
No. I just stood there. I always have a weird. I'd never know what to do with my hands. I kind of just like hold them awkwardly.
If I could suggest, that's what cigars and bourbon are for: cigar in one hand, bourbon in the other. Next thing you know, boom! You don't have to worry about nothing.
See, there we go. I like it.
Yeah, I need new headshots.
I like that idea.
I'm gonna have to get new headshots. All right, you've convinced me. That's what I need to
do. Oh, good.
All right, good talk.
Happy to help.
Tara Hastings, Wish TV, right there, right now. It's 35 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 8:08. AI-generated headshots. Really? You know, there's a whole story that AI is making everybody stupid. I have it. It's there on the show sheet. You can get it at TonyKatz.com. I am Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Here it is. That ChatGPT is making people stupid. Linked to declining academic performance and memory loss. Now, I'm not sure how you already decide that. It was published in the International Journal of Educational Technology and Higher Education, which, as everybody knows, is one heck of a read. Reliance on ChatGPT is linked to procrastination, memory loss, and a decline in academic performance, and also memory loss. See what I did there? Come on, that's good. That's world class. That is a joy and a treat I did right there. It's a really interesting article. You understand that you have a generation utilizing AI to answer the questions, to do the homework, to do all sorts of things. And so therefore, they're not actually getting information into their brain. There's no actual study. There's no methodologies for retention. So I think this is fascinating that they're already seeing it, which says to me, I clearly don't understand the depths to which this is being used in schools right now. I don't know if my kids use ChatGPT. From what I can see, no. And if I saw it, I'd be pretty angry about it. You know what? I'm going to go ask them right now. I'm going to go accuse them of something they probably haven't done just because that's what good parenting is. No? Yeah. Maybe I'll ask ChatGPT what good parenting is. That's what I'll do. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
To a couple of members of Congress that I have no interest in a congressional delegation that isn't looking quite seriously at a fellow member of Congress outside of the delegation that's standing up for terrorism. Tony Katz, great to be with you. When Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decided that she, in all seriousness, when asked about Hamas's actions, she was not going to call out Hamas for kidnapping. This is all about Israel and how Israel has to stop. No willingness at all to say that kidnapping children and women is wrong. Well, this has to be dealt with. This was Representative Ocasio-Cortez with Jake Tapper of CNN.
They also, Israeli officials also argue, this war could end tomorrow if Hamas freed the hostages and laid down the arms. Do you disagree?
I do disagree because when we are talking about famine, the actions of Hamas should not be tied to whether a three-year-old can eat. The actions of Hamas do not justify forcing thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to eat grass as their bodies consume themselves.
Representative Ocasio-Cortez is taking the side of Hamas. I understand how she pulls at the heartstrings. She's taking the side of terrorists that somehow, stunningly, amazingly, shockingly, this all just happened, as opposed to assessing blame. Hamas picked the battle. Hamas picked the battlefield. Your issue, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, is that war is hell. And you have yet to come to grips with the fact that Hamas started the war. All the leftists can't figure this one out. what they want to do, what they look to do, is go about assessing a blame for the response. The bombing of Dresden never would have taken place. The Second World War never would have been won if people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez or people like Indianapolis communist Jesse Brown were in charge. The good guy would get destroyed because somehow the good guy is not allowed to respond. And yes, I consider Israel to be the good guy. Now, you might not see it as good guy, bad guy. You might see it as, well, they got attacked, they're responding. The idea that I can have an issue with Israeli politics or Israeli policy is different than whether or not I see an issue with Israel's right to exist. I see, for example, the right of the United Kingdom to exist. And I think when they fly a Pakistani flag over a church, I think they're doing themselves a great disservice. And I question whether or not they view their own right to exist. But make no mistake that war is hell. I see it. I get that. I'm down for that. I don't have to concede. That is a fact. But here is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that kidnapping of women and children is acceptable. As a matter of fact, you're not even allowed to talk about it. It's all about how Israel responds. And for that, Representative Ocasio-Cortez should be removed from committees. For that, she should be expelled. That is giving aid and comfort to a terrorist organization. That is about supporting the idea of kidnapping, supporting the idea of hostages. And every member of the Indiana delegation should be pushing the speaker right now to remove her from all her committees. She should be expelled. Now, Jew-hating Andre Carson said it, meant it. I'm not the only person to have said it, by the way. You support Rashida Tlaib, you support Ilhan Omar, you support Louis Farrakhan. I think I'm more than okay in my description of Congressman Carson. I know I'm not going to get his vote. He has made his decision, his despicable, awful decision. Frank Mervan, there in the 1st District, Democrat, I don't know. I'm assuming he wouldn't. But I have seven more Republicans in Indiana. I demand that they move to remove Representative Ocasio-Cortez from her committees for taking the side of terrorists. The United States is abstaining from resolutions. A resolution that says Israel should engage in immediate ceasefire. It's non-binding. What does that matter? It's about leadership. Representative Victoria Spartz joins me right now from the Indiana 5th District. It's a race for the nomination in the 5th District. We'll get into that. But the move from the United States, Representative, to abstain from that vote in the UN. It was a call for a ceasefire, and the U.S. isn't saying no, they're abstaining. What did that say to you?
Well, listen, Tony, it's very, truly, it's truly embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us. It's unbelievable, but it's also, think about it. Israel, our strongest ally and friend in the Middle East, what it showed the rest of the world, that we're abandoning our ally. This has a significant national security implications on us as a country. And really doing it that in a very challenging time for Israel, like right now, It's just really despicable, and this administration is a total embarrassment that they've done it. We abandoned allies in Afghanistan. We know we've seen what was happening around the world, and it's really it causes us serious national security threats and implications.
The overarching conversation, or one of the overarching conversations regarding Israel, is, of course, this funding that's tied to Ukraine funding, that's tied to Taiwan funding, that's right now not existent in the House. Speaker Johnson won't bring that to the floor, even though it passed the Senate. Should the House be voting on this funding, or, as he has looked at it, border funding and significant border funding needs to come first?
Well, listen, a border is extremely important, and I was very, very disappointed that it's in this, you know, package we just passed, and I did not support it. There are a lot of other concerns with this, you know, appropriations omnibus that we passed, but that was one of the bigger reasons I did not vote for it, because I felt we had Department of Homeland Security appropriation, and we should have had border security. This is number one, you know, our national security issue. But I also think, you know, we passed, you know, we can talk about it, and there are a lot of variety of different concerns with Ukraine and other things, lack of strategy and oversight. But with Israel, we passed actually several times. Aid to Israel, we have to do it, and Schumer and Biden have been blocking it. Okay, and I think we need to come back and really put pressure, because we don't need to put this omnibuses, all of these packages together. We could have passed border security, they fail us. We passed Israel aid, they failed us. And they do nothing about, you know, helping. And honestly, they start appeasing a lot of adversaries around the world. And now we have pretty much Iran, you know, getting pretty much to the point when they can have nuclear weapons. We worry about Russia, you know, waving their nuclear flag. Can you imagine Iran having nuclear weapons? This is a very dangerous situation. Or giving $1 billion from Ukrainian aid to, you know, to Yemen, to Houthis in Yemen that are attacking our ships right now. This is just insane and stupid.
Talking to Congresswoman Victoria Sparks of the 5th District of Indiana. Full disclosure, my member of Congress. Let's talk about this race, Congresswoman, while we still have a couple of minutes. You weren't going to run for re-election. People got into the race. Then you decide to run for re-election. And this race has started to get nasty. How are things going so far? And what is your take on some of the commentaries about you and your leadership style in your office?
Well, listen, it's unfortunate when people don't have anything to run on or have a bad record. They start really telling a blatant lie, and unfortunately. And this is a part of politics why a lot of good people don't even go in politics. So, you know, we now need to get out and really show the record and what and the difference in our record than, you know, some of my opponents have a terrible one. You know, and I think this is something where it's becoming now where you can buy election with money, where you can tell what you want and really lie to people. And this is sad, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, this is a very tough time for our country. And, you know, if I would have known that we have a good, great person is going to replace me in Congress, I probably would rather, you know, spend some time home. But I know what these challenging times are, and I know what is at stake, and know how many crises we have right now. I need to have strong allies. This administration failed us, but I feel bad. A lot of my colleagues are upset, a lot of people in the district. I truly have some people, you know, pretty much my constituents and veterans truly crying about the situation. These people sacrifice so much, you know, and crying that we don't have good representation in Washington and we don't have good people there. So, you know, I couldn't abandon that. And I you know, no one likes, you know, being really, you know, truly, truly bombarded with complete lies. And some of them are very disgusting. But, as you know, Tony, unfortunately became part of politics now.
Congresswoman Victoria Sparks, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us. We will talk more in the days ahead, and we will be talking to more candidates in the 5th District.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Well, Matt.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be here. Dow futures are up 143. NASDAQ futures up 68. It's been a three-day losing streak for the S&P. they're going to look to turn things around. We know nothing more about the cargo ship that hit the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland. We know that the search and rescue mission has been called off. We're now clearly into recovery, but six construction workers are missing and assumed dead. This is horrific. We still don't have details about what happened specifically to the cargo ship. Certainly the video shows the lights going on and off, how it turned and then hit the pier. The photos, we're not just talking about photos on social media, show that the anchor was dropped. Did that change? Did that happen before the accident or after? Is the question? There's a lot here. There's a lot to learn about this ship, the Dali, flagged in Singapore. Controlled by Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K. A lot of people have been asking me about, well, don't they have insurance? They can cover this kind of accident. And the answer is, I don't know what their insurance covers or doesn't. I don't know what the claim would be. I don't know what the arguments against would be. This having to do with whether or not the federal government rebuilds the bridge. And since the bridge is a Maryland toll bridge, I'll accept the idea that there's a conversation here. Yesterday, I was like, you rebuild the bridge. What are we discussing here? If it's Maryland's bridge, well, that could be a different question. But I'm also a believer that you have to get this debris out of the way and you have to get this harbor and these ports back open. There is a tremendous amount of issue here with product. Could be a massive, massive blow to the American economy, to small business owners everywhere. There's been a conversation, as producer Carl had pointed out to me, that cars made in Indiana go through Baltimore to be shipped out to the rest of the globe. How does this boating accident, is that what we're calling it? Bridge collapse? Bridge collapse. Bridge collapse. It's just awful either way. How does it affect us here? This is not isolated, and this is not their problem. It's ours. And it's going to have economic effects. But there's no new information on cause. There is no new information on data in terms of where what could have happened to this ship. We do know that six people are missing and presumed dead. That's what we know. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. More on the bridge collapse on Tony Katz today at noon. And do I have to address, I mean, am I a bad host if I don't address Donald Trump selling Bibles? I don't know if I care if Trump is selling Bibles. I don't know if other people actually care. Maybe the people that are angry with Trump for doing so, oh, look at him, it's a grift, and look at him, it's so disgusting. Maybe they're just, you know, bothered that the Bible exists. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Take these people at their word? Come on. I have never considered selling a Tony Katz Bible. Right? Comes with a place for your cigar. It would be, has notes in the margin. Sell what you sell. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this is ugly. Like, is it somehow like some rewritten version? Right? Was it Howard Zinnified? If it's the Bible, it's the Bible. I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, I might get into that today. When I say I might. I will be getting into how the Department of Justice wants to push more red flag laws. This is a story, and we're going to get into Guy Relford is going to be joining me on Tony Katz today at noon to break this down. Because I started as a guy, red flag laws, I should really take the step back, is the idea that somebody is having a problem, somebody is having an issue, and you can utilize a red flag law to have their firearms for a short period of time taken from them. You could say, hey, there's a problem here. Hey, there's an issue here. And the argument of if you're a family member of somebody who has an issue, is having a mental issue, whatever it is, and you're trying to protect them and from themselves and making sure others don't get harmed, so you utilize one of these red flag laws, like, isn't that the responsible thing to do? So I started by being somebody who was absolutely in favor of red flag laws as an idea of just a rational thought. And then you saw how states abuse red flag laws, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why we can't have this, because these people can't be trusted. And they want to utilize red flag laws as a way of circumventing the Second Amendment. Dang it. I thought we were being a responsible society. It turns out we just want to disarm the citizenry. And so now when the DOJ is launching a national center to help states implement red flag laws, you understand that that's the objective. I'll be getting into that with Guy Relford at noon. And then this, we should file this under duh.com. I'm going to share with you the headline. You are immediately going to say, well, duh, of course. All I'm going to do is share the headline. I guarantee you I will hear you from here. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here it is. This is the Wall Street Journal. Came out on Monday. California restaurants cut jobs. All right, so that's how it starts. California, I hear you already finishing it. You wait. You wait your turn, dang it. California restaurants cut jobs as fast food wages set to rise.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, of course. You force this radical minimum wage on the state, and these workers, these companies are like, we can't afford this. Sorry, you lose your job. Funny, I know a guy who said this would happen exactly this way. Oh, that's right, it was all of us. We all knew it was going to end this way. Government's going to be the do-gooder, and they're going to force these companies to pay their fair share in a living wage. But that's not how business works. So instead of allowing employees to negotiate in their best interest, they lose their job. Government, by forcing a minimum wage on America, takes away the ability of the employee to negotiate, which is weird because so many of these government freaks are so into the idea of collective bargaining and having negotiating power. Nope. You took it away from them by having this nonsense, garbage, bullcrap minimum wage. $20 an hour. You forced them in California. And so they said, all right, we'll eliminate 9 jobs here, 2 jobs here, 8 jobs here, 33 jobs there, 6 jobs there. It's economics. It's the most basic stuff. And every one of us saw it coming. All you needed was the headline. You will share that with friends later at happy hour. You will share that at the dinner table tonight. This headline from the Wall Street Journal, you can find it at tonykatz.com. California restaurants cut jobs as fast food wages set to rise. And the whole table will go, well, duh, of course. You might have that one a son or daughter, I'd be like, oh, those companies are so greedy. And that's when you get to have a conversation about how they don't know anything about economics. They think their emotions are actually data points, and their emotions aren't data points. Data is the company can't afford to survive, and if you force them to pay $20 an hour, nobody will have a job. So what now? What now? You're talking to me about your passions and your emotions. You can have them, but it isn't reality. Here's reality. Here's reality. This is what you have to deal with. And as soon as you understand this, you'll be ready for the world. It's there for you at TonyKatz.com. We got Kendall and Casey up next, and then I'm back at noon, and then Hammer and Nigel, they do some jibber-jabber stuff. Lord only knows what's going on in the evening. Tony Kinnett. And we got a full day today over here at WIBC, people.